It's March 19th, 2010. I'm Jen Burt, and this is 508, a show about Worcester.
Also today, Brendan Malikan, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Mike Benedetti, beautiful spring day. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. This is a beautiful spring day. How long is it going to last, though?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm actually kind of coming down with something today, but since most of the best episodes of this show were done back in the day when I was always hungover for the show, I think sickness could be a positive thing.
I can't even drink anymore. It's like I've lost my tolerance so much, and I miss those days. We could all be hungover and bang our heads together.
How was your St. Patrick's Day?
What's that?
How was your St. Patrick's Day?
I'm Irish 364 days a year. That's my one day off.
Take a break.
That's amateur hour. It's awesome. Like New Year's. We don't do that stuff.
Awesome.
Well, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, City Square 2.
Do you know about City Square 2?
I'm trying to avoid it this time. Like it was 5 years ago that I was mocking all of our city councilors for saying that this would be done by 2010, 2011, be wrapping up, and like here we are starting from scratch. Let me know when it's over. I offered 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I offered to bring my own 6-pound sledgehammer downtown and start on demo myself, and I'd probably be done right now. Over 6 years, I probably would have the entire building down to the ground. It's still standing. So let me know when it's over.
Would you have $25 million in state financing?
I would not have. If I did, I probably could have hired a team to get it down in a year. It wouldn't even taken 6 years to bring the whole building down.
Well, one thing actually I like about being on TV is that we have to actually explain what these issues are, I think, for the larger audience who are just surprised.
We don't, though, because we have infographics.
So, City Square, the project to basically tear down the abandoned mall downtown and put a road through, sort of connecting that downtown City Hall area more directly with Union Station. They've been talking about it for 6 years now. They've had somebody lined up called Berkeley Investments. For 6 years now, and has nothing's happened. And so this week...
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think Berkeley made a profit. I think
sure Berkeley definitely made a profit.
This is one of these things where we're actually reading Bill Randall's blog about local real estate development. I realize, like, how amazing it is that you can basically, you don't even have to buy and improve things. You don't have to do anything. You can just sort of
sit on it for a while.
Work on your spreadsheet and make a couple of phone calls, and you could make...
It's like baseball cards. Like, you put them under your bed for 20 years, and then suddenly you take them out again, and they're worth millions of dollars. It's
like making money off of baseball cards that are worth nothing, that no one really wants to pay anything for.
They're it just all worth seems... nothing. They're only valuable for the gum when you buy them, but then 20 years later, it's suddenly everyone wants them.
So, according to the papers, who I think are mostly drawing from information from the city manager, I wasn't actually seeing anything in the papers that seemed like it was coming from the parties involved, but maybe I'm wrong. City Square 2, LLC, like Jaws 2, subsidiary of Opus Investments Management, wholly owned subsidiary of the Hanover Insurance Group Incorporated, has signed a purchase and sale agreement with Berkeley Investments, and will be the developer of this dead mall downtown. Purchase and sale agreement, I guess, not being a sale. Again, anybody who's developed property in Worcester or probably bought a house will know more about this than me. But I guess this is one of these things that can fall through based on financing, other problems, other things that the wind.
Wind, yeah. I think anything could make it fall through. The only thing it's nice that I really like, though, is this year, the Front Street extension. That seems to be the thing that they're going to work on right out of the gate. They're going to try and open up the mall and reconnect Front Street.
Here's my challenge to you. Why do you think that they're going to work on this right out of the gate?
Because they said so.
Who is the they in this case? I think it's the city manager.
This non-nefarious sounding company, City Square 2 LLC, a subsidiary of Opus Investments for Hanover Insurance Group Incorporated. You actually have to say that whole thing every time you talk about this project now.
The thing that I've gotten from reading all this, though, is I haven't seen anything from the company. It's all Mike O'Brien and, like, people talking at the city council meeting, which doesn't really mean anything's going to get done.
I mean, this is my only concern. The thing is, I don't want to be relentlessly negative about this or anything, because why be relentlessly negative?
Because it makes a good show.
It doesn't make a good show. I think that there's a lot of relentlessly negative blogs in this town that show that it does not make a good show, in fact. But it's like, this is something where there's a lot of skepticism. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of wish that every time Nick Katsopoulos wrote an article about this, he was also able to include a sidebar, which was like five things that could prevent this step from going through.
Right.
Because, like, just because of the history of this city manager, the city council, and this property has been that if it can fall through,
and delay things forever, it will fall through and delay things forever. And right. There's no, who knows, next week there could be a sale and, you know, this could all be fine. But I just bad history in this.
The only way to ensure that any of this gets done on any level is to offer the opportunity to cynical and apathetic Worcester residents, again, to bring their own sledgehammers downtown and start banging on that thing themselves.
Yeah.
And at least something will get done. I mean, sure, we're not going to do a great job of demo. I mean, we're not professionals, but there's a lot of anger and hostility in this town, and if we allowed it to come out in a constructive way, like on that building, then you would ensure that some of it would be torn down.
Slum cities are very hip among urban theorists these days, too. We could build a nice slum city right there.
We could build a slum city.
We'd have all that rubble to work from.
One of the only urban areas in the Northeast that doesn't have a Hooverville right now. So, I mean, we could just slop one down there just for the time being.
So I asked different people for what they thought was going to be the holdup on this. And actually, one helpful piece of information somebody got from reading one of the documents was that, according to the original plan, it would be 2 years from the initial demolition to the occupancy of Building H, of this. And so,
Building H is up there.
This is Building H. So that basically, we're talking 2012.
Which you can't even get to because proposed Mercantile Street doesn't exist yet. Like, Building H is going to be an island until this proposed street is built. So
that's roughly where the Bijou is now?
Well, I guess
now?
You could get over there through Foster Street.
I want to talk about the Front Street extension because Jeff Barnard was saying...
That is where the Bijou is.
I want to talk about the Front Street extension because Jeff Barnard was saying, like, oh, this isn't such a big deal. Like, who cares? It's just a street. Like, I have to say, as a pedestrian, I never, ever go to this part of the city. And I've been to this part of the city thousands and thousands of times.
Right.
Because this is just a humongous foot barrier between a really busy area here and a potentially busy area over here.
The day that we did the bus ride for the 100th episode, I actually walked from Union Station back over to the Common, and I walked along that route there. And if this proposed Front Street actually existed, I would have walked down it. But instead, I hugged the mall. And that was a very desolate, sad part of my walk, because there's no one to talk to, there's nothing to look at.
You know, and that's...
sidewalk, really?
It's half of a sidewalk.
They're kind
of
digging it up.
You take 10 steps on the sidewalk, and then it vanishes, and suddenly you're in the middle of the second lane.
It's hard to cross the roads.
Yeah,
there.
One
thing I'd like to say as a frequent and passionate urban walker is that, like, that's what makes walking that distance in Manhattan or Main Street different than walking around there. It's right. It's a sort of like, is it an emotional drain? Like, if this was a park, or if this was a bunch of shops, or this was a bunch of houses, or there were people walking around, it would be a totally different thing. It would actually kind of a positive energy. You'd feel kind of like it was, but it's just a huge drag. It just makes it so much harder to get to the bus or the train from, say, WCCA.
Now, where if you look at the bus schedules, and this may have changed recently, but not too long ago it was basically the case where the buses that come in, like our bus that leaves down here, Katnick area, it would get to City Hall roughly 10 minutes before the train leaving to Boston left. So if without that street, you actually have to run all the way around the mall just to get to the train that's going to take you to work in out of South Station. With this street, then you could actually run through the mall and maybe, just maybe, catch your train on time. There's chances are still slim that you're going to catch your train, but you at least stand a better chance of catching
your train.
There's
some sort of connection there now. Well, I have to say, like, again, my favorite part of all of this is just that the developer is called City Square 2 LLC. It is actually making me wonder if are there LLC squatters? Like, does somebody out there have City Square LLC 3? Just kind of like, for 6 years from now, flip it for $10,000 or whatever, and... I guess not.
I think what we need to do, though, is someone out there in Worcester internet land needs to create a theme song. So it's going to be, you know, City Square 2, Electric Boogaloo, and actually write and produce, you know, a music video for this project. It needs music. It can't just have a ridiculous name.
Jen Burke, do you have any other thoughts about City Square?
If we have, like, a nice heavy metal song to it being destroyed, that'd be really great.
I want to actually ask...
Sledgehammer.
Jen, since you're on the show...
Uh-huh.
I want to ask about the Artichoke Food Co-op. I walked by the Artichoke a couple times in the last month. It's open. There's food on the shelf. This is not the Artichoke that I know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Artichoke has historically been its own worst enemy, in that people are like, I really want to go there and buy organic local food. It's fairly affordable. And then you get there and it's not open.
Because it's all volunteer.
Or it's out of stock. Yeah, so it's all volunteer. So, I don't know. I've been volunteering there for, like, 4 years now. I would say right now is, like, the most energy and, like, coordination between people that we've ever had.
Well, that's great.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And the Artichoke is on Main Street.
It's 800 Main Street.
By Gil Raines.
Yep, right next to Gil Raines.
And
One Love, yeah.
And it's right next to One Love. And it's open... it's open when the lights are on and the doors open.
We have almost all the volunteer shifts filled right now, which means 10 to 7 on weekdays and 12 to 5 on weekends. And we have produce again, which was kind of a ridiculous problem we had for a little while. We didn't have any produce.
Are you guys going to have locally produce grown in the neighborhood over the summer?
Yeah. We're trying to partner with some of the community gardens and some farms and hopefully have produce from the neighborhood. We always have produce from Youth Grow Farm, which is like probably the most, unless we're growing food in the store, it's probably as local as you could get. It's like up the street. So,
yeah. Cool. Brandon Mellican, any thoughts on local food ways?
Love local produce.
Awesome. I wanted to ask you, Brendan, about Google Fiber. We've been talking a lot about Google Fiber on this show.
Yes, 1 week left. Exactly 1 week.
And you're like one of the big people working on this, getting the nuts and bolts screwed down.
Just don't blame me if
it doesn't work. Well, you and Scott Zobeck will be like these. They're going to give you the
burning our effigies.
Do you have the key to the city? Because you'll definitely get multiple.
I don't. No.
I heard a rumor there's one for sale at Savers. I heard a rumor about that. I don't know if it's still there.
We should go down there.
We need a key to the city.
I will present it to you at next week's table.
That's how much it's worth, is you can buy it at Savers.
We should
buy my best things at Savers.
I'm curious to know what the market value for a key to the city is, actually.
The project is progressing nicely. We've done our media blitz this week. I did a Wake Up Worcester with Hank Stoltz earlier in the week. I did the Jordan Levy show earlier in the week. But now it's kind of crunch time where we actually need all of the people who have gotten excited about the project to do something with the project. And the biggest thing right now is making sure that folks go to Google's website for the project. It's a funny domain name. It's not like a normal naming system that they use this time for some reason. So Google Fiber, and the first result that you'll get is the Google Fiber for Communities project. On the right-hand side of the page, there's a link to an application that individuals are supposed to fill out. And that's the biggest thing right now, is like, take 5 minutes, fill out this application, and say to Google, like, this means a lot to me, this means a lot to my community, this is the future of economic development, of education, of healthcare, of everything, is right in this project. And so take the 5 minutes and do that. The other big thing is videos. Like, we wanted to make use of all of Google's tools to kind of get the word out about this. We've had a few videos come in for the project thus far.
Morrow's Kids made an adorable video.
Yes, and that is exactly what we need more of from more people. I've tried going out to public places and asking people, explaining the project to people and asking them to be taped for it for like a short video. I would put out to people watching this, that is not a good thing to do. Walking up to contemporary Americans and asking to videotape them, even in public places, you're likely to get arrested. So anyone watching this who wants to make a video but doesn't think that their video making skills are up to par, just get in touch with me and I will come to you. Just don't call the police ahead of time. Don't go to parks and try and make videos where there are children running around and whatnot. It gets dicey. But if you want to make a video, come to me and we'll make that happen.
I think if you want to make a video and you're not sure of your video making skills, continue watching this show or go to youtube.com and you'll feel like you're in the upper 50% right
there.
Jen, do you have any thoughts? Do you know about Google Fiber for Communities?
Yeah, I have to admit, I went to the website, I was looking at it, and didn't fill anything out. I was maybe I'll go back to this. And it was one of those things I haven't gone back to.
When it comes to the community stuff, like making videos or just talking about it, that's something we can continue doing. But the actual application, the applications, both the official city application and the applications by individuals and organizations, those need to be in by March 26th. So we have exactly 1 week to get that in. And that is an important step. I mean, if we just have everyone talking about it, that too is huge, because right now if you search Google Fiber, Worcester actually does rank. We've had mentions out there. It's getting some traction, but without those actual applications, there's no way the company is going to notice our interest.
Do we have any sense of what Google is looking for?
Yeah, I mean, they laid it out quite clearly. I mean, they're looking for communities that fit between 50 and 500,000 people. It seems that they're looking for a city that's big enough where, there'll be some impact, that has the kind of infrastructure that we have, healthcare, education, room for economic development, but also a small enough population where you can actually look at and measure the effects aspect of the project, which we fit nicely in that realm. I don't think there are other communities, at least in this area. Boston, much too big. Most of the other, other cities our size don't have the infrastructure that we have, and smaller communities don't have the resources that we have. So at least in this region, I think we have all of the key components that would make for a successful rollout of the project.
Hmm. Well, good luck, Worcester.
Good luck, Worcester. Good luck, Google.
Yeah. Google, this is the best thing you've ever done. You bring Google Fiber.
I don't know if you caught this. It was interesting. They announced yesterday a collaboration with Sony that this summer they're going to be rolling out Google TV.
I saw this.
The timing is interesting. It's not clear what they're going to be offering, whether it's going to be just internet content along the lines of Hulu or what have you. There's no announcements of partners in terms of like networks or whatnot, but there will be something that is at least called Google TV that will be, along with Sony, broadcast into your homes. So.
Is this going to be a little bit like? It looked to me like this is going to be a little bit like Boxy, maybe.
Boxy, Hulu, what Netflix is doing with Roku.
Or,
it's going to be interesting.
What's the other one? I'm forgetting the other.
Apple TV.
Yeah, some kind of a set-top box deal.
Yeah. I'm going to apologize in advance. If this turns into the Borg, I don't come after me for this. I just like the idea of really fast internet access. I'm not in collusion with the evil empire, if that's what it turns out being. But I think they're still on the right track. It seems to be one of the few companies that do no evil maxim seems to be holding up for the most part. I know it's tough when you start crossing international borders and what have you, but for the most part, I think they're doing a really good job of sticking to that do no evil.
They're the rare company. I think that they're one of the rare companies in the space who benefits from innovation, so they push innovation. And we definitely, as individuals,
you've made the comment a couple times that they are being disruptive, but they're being disruptive in a way that's actually beneficial to the consumer as opposed to being beneficial to other companies. Yeah. Because it's the consumer having a good experience then benefits them through advertising and what have you. Yeah, it's interesting. Now, of course, we have no idea what happens when management changes, but that's years, so.
Yeah, Leo Babalta, who's one of the kingpins of personal productivity blogging, put up a post yesterday about how he had taken a day to go to all non-Google services, and which is what he's doing now. We'll link to that in the interest of fairness. And I linked in a post earlier, but I'll link again to this post of Eben Moglen talking about the danger of cloud services in general and sort of what he sees as being the technological alternatives and fixes to that. So for what it's worth, this is fairly...
These are the naysayers who do not embrace the singularity, Mike.
I want to talk about what I'm excited about in Worcester this week, but I don't know if you guys have anything that you're excited about.
I'm excited about your excitement.
All right. What are you excited about?
Nothing. I was really excited the last few weeks. It's like Mystery Band and...
How did the Winter Mystery Band go?
Went pretty good. There are only two bands that kind of made it through. Mm-hmm. But, I'm biased because I wasn't one of them. But I thought they both did a good job.
Well, Summer Mystery Band only had like three or four bands,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
There you go. One thing I'm excited about is... I'm going to point on this map here. So you know this building, Building B there?
Yep.
Right there? Which is like a bank?
Yeah.
Do you know that there's like federal government offices in there?
No.
And one of them is a tax office. And so
the federal offices up there?
Yeah.
Do you know IRS, that tax? There's ATF, the DA is up there.
Yeah. I've been having for clients. I've been having to go to this tax office all the time, getting ready for April 1st. I think starting to really in earnest get the taxes done, and also the quarterly payments done. And man, it's awesome. Basically, you can, any tax form you want, any question you want, you can talk to an actual person. I have waited as long as 5 minutes and as short as 10 seconds for help there. Yeah. I'm sure that it's going to escalate as we get towards April 15th, but it was pretty badass. So there it is. It's the sixth floor. It's right there. Ask the guard at the front and say, I need to get a tax form. Where do I go?
ATF is up there too. So if you want to rat out a friend or something like that for gun possession, they're also very helpful, very friendly.
Really?
Yeah, right there. We get a lot of government offices in the city.
Have you been to the ATF office there?
I used to, strangely enough, I used to work at the Sports Authority when they were downtown, and we sold firearms at the time, so we actually had to work kind of, they would come down every once in a while to check on the book, and every gun shop has to have a log, like a handwritten log book of all transactions, so they would come down all the time to scan through that.
Is this the Sports Authority that used to be in the mall?
In the mall that needs to be torn down, yes.
It comes full circle.
Yeah, it was right over here in, I think this section here.
TNG staff, thanks. This is a very attractive map. Thanks for making this.
brief show today.
Was it really, though? It seems like it's been going on for a while.
I know. It's relatively brief, though. Beautiful day today. You see that the pond is thawing out. Where we were standing last week is now is ice, still ice, but transparent ice. Yeah. And
I was looking to see if there might be fish on the other side of that. I never really had that experience.
Are there fish? I don't know.
I haven't seen any yet, but there are fish in here.
They're not over here yet. Oh, nope. Actually, it's tiny bits of floating ice because as soon as I put the paper in the water, it sucks it up.
We will not stand on that this
week. So here's our beautiful, this is our beautiful 508 set for today. Well, guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and we'll have some different guests coming up in the coming weeks, but enjoy spring, Worcester. Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.